In your life, fishing licenses make great holiday gifts. So share the fun of fishing by giving the gift of fishing. Get your multi-year fishing license, voucher, and gift certificates today at GoneFishingPA.com.
Didn't take long at all to get a winner. Congratulations to Stacy Craig. She is the winner of our Red Roof Certificate giveaway. And the quote was, "Randy lay there like a slug. It was his only defense. We wanted to know what movie that was from." And the correct answer was A Christmas Story. Congratulations to Stacy Craig, who wins certificates good till the end of next February. She gets two certificates, each for one free night at any Red Roof nationwide. We'll keep playing the rest of this week, so listen Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as well.
Good morning, and welcome to Let's Talk. Thank you for joining us for this half hour. Now, let's talk.
Good morning, and welcome to Let's Talk. I'm Tracy Morgan. So nice of you to be here with us, as you always are every time, this time of day. And I'm like trying to look at my list of how many ways that you can listen now, because you have us on the radio, you have us through the smartphones, you know, you go to the Play Store, you have your free apps. This is one of those. You just punch in WISR 680, it'll come up there for you. You have us as a podcast, and that you can listen to after we're done today. You go on our website at WISR680.com. And you can listen to the program in its entirety again. Now, you can listen to us live on the website, too. So you got the stream at WISR680.com. Oh, and Alexa. I can't forget about Alexa. So if you have a Dot, Echo, Tap, any of the Alexa-powered devices, you just simply say, "Alexa, play WISR680. And that's your magic phrase. We'll pop up there, and you can listen to us live as well. So now that we got the checklist all done, with us today is Family Pathways, and Brian Dick is with us. He's the program manager for the outpatient services, and Marianne Norris, she's an outpatient therapist. And we're going to talk about outpatient therapy with Family Pathways, but yeah, it's December, so we're going to make sure that we talk about the holidays too, because it can be a little rough, even if we don't need outpatient therapy, but when you do, it could add in a different element. So, Brian, Marianne, welcome to the program. It's nice to see you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you in today. So talk about Family Pathways in general first, just a moment or two. I know we want to focus on outpatient therapy, but Brian, we hear Family Pathways, we see the big butterfly in the building, and you know, we're wondering, what exactly do you do?
Well, Family Pathways has been around for nearly 20 years now in Butler. In the city of Butler and in the area. We provide a range of different services in addition to outpatient. We have a foster care department, which works with the county. We also have an adoption department, and we have the outpatient, of course. We have a family-based mental health service, which is another mental health component for in-home family therapy services that meets certain criteria. We have other supportive services like Legacy. It's an in-home supportive services to support some of the families that are in the midst of a transition and need extra support to solidify or strengthen their home. So there's a lot of different things that we do. We do a lot of training for the community. We're involved with the Butler Collaborative, which is a consortium of agencies within Butler County, in Butler. And we co-sponsor and support trainings with that group. So that's really a kind of a thumbnail sketch of our services.
Marianne, I want to ask you, because since you're the therapist, when Brian is talking about mental health services and then therapies, just the terminology alone, do you find that people still shy away from getting help? Or is it becoming more accepting that the stigma has lessened a bit?
I think the stigma has lessened a bit. I would say our smallest population is still the older population, geriatric population, but we have a lot of younger families and we have a lot of kids that come into the agency.
And I can't speak for everyone. It just seems when I was growing up, it wasn't talked about as much.
Yes.
Mental health services. Now it seems like what I hear is people say, oh, I go to therapy. Oh, me too. I go to a group. You know, it seems to be readily talked about instead of people shying away from it. But what stigma is still attached to folks getting help?
I can't speak for everyone, but I would say the stigma is probably that they think that they don't need help. We have some people that come in and they'll say, do I qualify? Do you really think I need to be here? Some people think it makes them look weak, or that they have a mental health, you know, if they have an illness, like, you know, what are other people going to think of me? Do they think I'm crazy? We get a lot of questions like that from people. So do you think I'm crazy? What do you think of me? Things of that nature.
Because mental health services, mental health conditions does not equate, in a sense, quote unquote, your terms, being crazy. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we have people that come in just because they're going through a big stressor in their life. Maybe a loved one has passed away. Maybe they're going through a divorce, you know, some kind of other conflict. Maybe a child's getting bullied at school. It doesn't have to be a mental illness.
And can you name a few of those, if you had a category under mental illness? So we hear a lot about depression, we hear schizophrenia, but I mean, there's things like OCD that would go. Can you name a few of them?
Yeah, obviously, depression and anxiety are big ones. They're extremely common. Obsessive compulsive disorder, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. There's a big continuum. At this time of year, we talked about seasonal affective disorder, which is a depression that may happen in the winter months. It's very common.
Yeah. And Brian, I'm going to ask you this question. Marianne, if you want to take it, feel free. But so when people are a little apprehensive, they want to know what is this therapy? What am I going into? What should I expect? What would you say to them?
Well, I think it's very specific to the problem that they're stating. One of the things we like to do with people is really help them define what they're looking for. Oftentimes people come into therapy either without adequate knowledge. They just know that there's a problem. Their house or their home, their family is off track, and they are looking for some kind of fix. I think what we try to do is establish really good expectations with them that this is a process to change, helping them identify what kinds of specific outcomes they're looking for. Then we can work with them around what is realistic or not realistic. I think, you know, generally speaking, what people are looking for, what we're trying to achieve, is symptom reduction and also some kind of stability. We're talking about families here today, and it's really about keeping families intact, creating stability, creating some, you know, a lot of people are going through emotional pain or depression, so they're looking for a reduction of that, whatever that ailment is, or whatever they're feeling or experiencing.
And I don't know one family that has the This Is How to Be a Family manual, and I'm still waiting for it myself. I have two kids at home, and my husband, and I say that jokingly, but I say it also seriously because nobody has a book that says this is exactly how you need to run your family, that it works like clockwork and everything is perfect. So do you find that as adults we feel, I don't know if it's guilty or shameful, that we don't already know how to do this? As adults, you think we should already know how to do this?
Well, sure, that can be one experience that people have. A lot of families and parents who are raising children now weren't they didn't have adequate skills modeled for them when they were being raised. Oftentimes there was some type of disruption in their home. Not in all cases. There's certainly a lot of families who came from intact families and they're just experiencing adjustments, like Marianne was stating. But oftentimes they don't have even any sense of what being parented was about, and for various reasons. And then they're coming in and their children are, they're usually bringing their children in first and saying, they have this behavioral problem, I can't manage it, I don't know what to do. And then as we dig a little bit deeper in the assessment, it is also just the fact that they don't have any the right kinds of skills. They have some skills, they don't have what they need to manage it.
Go ahead, Marianne.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as you said, kids do not come with instruction manuals. And if every family is different, every child is different, what works for one family and what works for one child is not going to work for another. So we really work on trying to empower the parents of what's going to work for their family and what are they looking for, what's realistic for them, and what are their goals.
Now, Maryam, when we talk families, of course, families are made up in many different ways, you know, but you deal with whole families, you can deal with couples. Do you deal with individuals?
We do.
Well?
Okay. We do deal with individuals. We focus mostly on children. We do have adults that come in individually, but when we see children individually, obviously, we try to tie in the family system.
And talk about how you try to improve even just the communication. It sounds like you're trying to educate people, is what I'm hearing from both of you talk, but you're also trying to teach communication as well. And me being in the communications industry, it's interesting on how much we don't communicate. You know, right. We don't know how to communicate with one another.
This is true.
Yeah, it is.
And with
texting just doesn't cut it.
Right. And with people's lives are very busy today. There's a lot of technology. There's not a lot of face-to-face interaction. That's one of the big things that we talk about in family therapy sessions is ways to improve the relationships between the parents and the child, or even adult family members or teenagers. How you talk to your children, how do you get children to listen, but also taking time away from technology, making time for your kids and as a family that's undivided attention, it's positive attention, the phones are turned off, you're not looking at a screen.
Well, in a scenario that I'm thinking of immediately is, you know, my kids do love electronics, and then when I tell them to get off the electronics, all of a sudden I realize, but wait, I don't have anything prepared, you know, or I have to get the laundry done, or I have to go shopping, or I have to go back to work, or, you know, I mean, there's so many other things that I have to get done. What do you say to a parent or a whole family whenever you do try to put those limitations in? But when I was a kid, here we go with me sounding like my mom, right? When I was a kid, we went outside and played. And it doesn't seem like kids want to just go outside and play. They want to be on the electronics.
We really recommend limiting the electronics. Again, that's going to be different for every family, what that looks like, and it depends on the child's age. Younger children should have less screen time than what an older child or a teenager might have. I encourage parents, wait until homework's done, you know, any chores that need done, that can be used as a reward or as a privilege that they get to earn. In terms of what they can do as a family, it doesn't have to be anything that's big and prepared. Maybe for an older child, it's just a board game. Maybe it's sitting down for dinner together. Maybe it's going outside and walking around, you know, the neighborhood or taking the dog for a walk. It doesn't have to be anything big and prepared, or it doesn't have to cost money. Again, that's just whatever works for the family, and we would help them identify things.
And I'm not trying to negate anything that you said, because all of those are great ideas. I'm just also thinking from a parent's point of view that if you try one of those things and your child just wants to so much be on technology that all they do is give you grief, now all of a sudden the parent is back in a role of, this is a struggle for me, mm-hmm. and I can't seem to quite do this, and now you're back into a contentious situation. So how do you resolve something like that?
Right, and we would support the parent with that if that's a change that they were wanting to make too. You know, and again, that's where the family has the power to choose what's going to work best for them. If the parent thinks, hey, this is what I need to do because my child is spending 3-4 hours in their room playing games and isn't interacting with the family, then we would talk with the parent about, this is how we're going to set, these are the rules, this is how we're going to introduce them. With older children, you can have them be a part of that discussion of what do you think's fair, and just putting it out there, like, we need to make some changes in the family. We're not happy with the way the family is functioning. What do you think's fair in terms of how much time you get on your electronics, and what is the child's expectations? And there can be some negotiation and compromise there, and then the children are more willing because they feel like they're participating in that discussion. It gives them some some power in that.
Yeah, absolutely. With us is Family Pathways. We have Brian Dick with us, a program manager of the outpatient department, if you will, and Maryam Norris, an outpatient therapist, talking about outpatient therapy, if you will, or some support for families. And we are going to talk about holidays and how that connects. Really quickly, though, some notes in front of me. I see PCIT for younger children. What is that?
PCIT stands for Parent-Child Interaction Therapy.
Okay.
That is a type of family therapy that is recommended for children ages 2 to 7. It is an evidence-based practice, meaning there is a lot of studies and literature that supports its efficacy in children. It is a type of behavioral management where we basically teach the parent or whoever the primary caregiver is how to basically be a therapist with their child, a play therapist. We teach them skills to build the relationship with the child initially. It's ways to positively engage in increasing all the positive behaviors that they'd like to see in their child. And then the second half of that is learning how to discipline their child appropriately and getting their children to follow through with commands and using effective timeouts and planned ignoring strategies.
And Brian, I'm going to ask you this, and let Marianne take a moment, take a breath, but how important is it that the families continue to be in contact with Family Pathways? Because, again, all the programs that Marianne is kind of outlining for us sound great, but then if I'm struggling as a parent, can I come back to Family Pathways and say, you know, I didn't have a good week this week, or I tried what Marianne said, and, you know, how can you help somebody through step by step?
Well, oftentimes there are parents who we will identify in the course of these types of family therapies who need extra support. Sometimes they won't say anything, they'll just exhibit that. And there's a couple ways we would go about that. We would either give the parents some additional skills around self-care, make some suggestions at the end of sessions as to things that they can do to try to improve their self-care, because oftentimes what happens to children who are not behaving in appropriate ways or things are really not on track, the parent is probably not on track, and they know it because they're overwhelmed. There's financial stressors, there's domestic stressors, it's just a spillover. And so oftentimes we'll take that parent aside in very informal way and offer either supportive strategies that they can engage in, self-care strategies, you know, like getting additional support for themselves from extended caregivers or other types of caregiving resources. Or we will have them engage in some individual therapy of their own, just to kind of really give them a booster session to help them in specific areas. It doesn't always work out that way for every family. Some families are ordered or directed by court systems and the like to receive their own, the parents receive their own individual therapy, the children do family, and then they do something together. But we often try to really identify and support those parents when they come in. And they're not always wanting that information. Maybe they know it, but they don't want it. But we at least try to give them something.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, completely different scenario, but I remember when I owned a horse a few years ago, I had no idea what was going on. The horse was brand new. And so my trainer had said, one of you have to understand what's going on. And when neither one of you do, that's where you have a trainer, a coach, to help one of you understand so you can learn off the other. It sounds like that kind of scenario where if the parent or the child, they don't have direction and they're not sure, that's where you all come in as the coach, if you will, to help them through.
Yes, I think a lot of times for parents, we're all very proud. So we don't really want to appear like we're weak or we don't have enough strength as a parent. And that's sometimes the first barrier that we have to work through, is just helping people to acknowledge, yes, I really need this additional help. Because a lot of times admitting that you have a problem is tied to some sense of guilt or shame, that there's something really bad or wrong with you. And that's not really the case. It's just things are not... You can feel it as a parent, they're not where they need to be, the family is disrupted, or there's some things within the family that are causing additional stress for everybody in the home, and so it's really hard to get through that first phase of admitting, yeah, I really need something and I'm open to it.
Marianne, I'm going to come back to you, because when you're talking about the PCIT, is that the family strengthening activities, or are your strengthening activities something different?
The PCIT and the family strengthening activities have a lot of similarities. The PCIT, though, is more geared towards younger children, like I said, up until about the age of 7. The activities that we encourage parents to use with PCIT are a lot of imaginative play, creative play, where there's not rules. So the board games wouldn't really work for the PCIT, but we encourage playing with dollhouses, playing with Legos or blocks, drawing or coloring together. Train sets, cars, anything that requires imagination where you're not having to correct your child, whereas if you were playing a board game or doing a puzzle, you might have to kind of give your child more of a directive or a command, or, you know, don't do this, don't do that, try this. It's more about letting them lead the play. The strengthening activities that you can do as a family are a little bit different, because a board game has rules, but it's still something that's positive and you could all engage in together. So there is a little bit of a little bit of difference there, but similarities.
Then let me ask you about routines and traditions. Why are they important for us to keep up on?
Children thrive on consistency and structure. When they are, you know, children are asking. Basically, when we see children misbehaving, a lot of that is them pretty much asking in a behavioral way for some limits and some boundaries. When they feel like they don't have that consistency and that structure in the routine, things feel out of control for them. So being consistent with what you do or what your expectations are and sticking with routines and traditions really creates a sense of security for your child and a sense of, you know, belonging and purpose, and it increases their sense of value and their self-esteem. That's extremely important around the holidays too, if I can segue into that a little bit.
Yeah, let's do, yeah.
It's important even during the holidays, you know, they get time off of school, you have a lot of family things going on, things get very busy with how much, you know, there's school activities, there's plays, concerts, family members from out of town might be staying with you or you're going to other families. It is important to still try to maintain a little bit of a routine, bedtime routine. You know, your rules shouldn't just go out the window about, you know, what you do or don't allow. Obviously, there's some leniency there. Maybe you let them have a little bit of extra treats or you let them stay up a little later than normal. But it should still be pretty consistent because otherwise you see kids start having meltdowns. Because they're tired, there's too much stimulation, there's too much going on, and they just can't handle that. So
adults can't handle it.
Adults can't handle it either, yes.
We need our naps too, right?
Yes.
So talk about the overload, talk about the stress, and I mean, you're giving us some of the pauses of what we can do, but when you're talking about the meltdown, there's a lot of other things that can encompass the stress and the out of control feeling that we all feel.
Right. And like you said, even as adults, we feel that. There's, you know, this month, I think leading from Thanksgiving up to Christmas, there's so many demands placed on us as adults, as children, as parents, the things that we need to do and the things that we have to get done. Just try to keep yourself in check and make your expectations realistic. Don't let your to-do list get too long, and don't let your mind, you know, race of all the things that you need to accomplish. Maybe cut back on some of the things that you're, you know, holding yourself to doing so that you're not stretched too thin, because as parents or adults, when we're stretched too thin, then we take that out on our children, and we see that in our children's behaviors, and encourage the same thing with them. That goes back to the self-care, making sure that you're still getting time, like you're getting support from other adults or your peers or coworkers, whoever that would be, your spouse, your partner, other family. And just limiting, you know, don't overextend yourself is basically the message there, I would say.
Brian, I'm going to turn to you for this question just because I'm thinking about everything that Marianne is talking about. I'm thinking of family units, but there always seems to be that one. I'll pick on the moms. Not, you know, I am one, so I can say this. But it feels like sometimes you're the only person in the family accomplishing the to-do list that has increased tenfold because we're in the holiday season. And I've heard this from other women. I was actually in a group of women last night. We were all chatting about the same topic, and it seemed like every single one that was a mom said, but I have to do X, Y, Z, and then take care of everybody else's needs, and then make sure everybody else has a good Christmas, but then I'm left behind.
Yes, I think, you know, I'm not going to get into anything too controversial here, but certainly I think the female role within the family has traditionally, I think it's always been kind of traditionally seen, even if you go back a few decades, the female in the home was seen as the nurturer, the person who took care of things, cooked all the meals, did all these extraordinary things. My grandmother was probably one of them, where you would go into the holiday setting and she did everything from cooking to the cleaning, and my grandfather would sit and hang out and, you know, sit in the easy chair. I think some of those days have transitioned away. We're not doing that as much, but, you know, in some homes that we're seeing, there is no male member to the home, and so the female is really, you know, in some cases, many cases actually, is the one that's having to bridge the financial and the nurturing gap. Some of it is just the family roles, and when we're working with a structure within the home, we're looking at what role does the male member play, or in some cases it's not a male-female, it may be female-female or male-male home. What does the other partner have to play? I think that's probably the better way to put it in this case. Some partners may not, there may not be an expectation around that. And in many cases, we have to meet with those members or those partners and say, how are each of you contributing to this? Because one is feeling very overwhelmed, and it's leading to some of the behavioral issues, and they're not taking care of themselves. So sometimes you have to just sit down with the couple and really hash that out. And a lot of that, it's very interesting because partners come from families, and families have their own traditions and roles, and sometimes that's the one partner will say, well, that's how my mom and dad did it, and the other one will say, well, no, this is how my mom and dad, or if they came from two dads or two moms, this is how our parents did it. And sometimes that can create a collision course. And I'm not sure if this is a good answer to your question, but in many cases those roles have been predefined and they come in, and when those partners come together, there are a lot of imbalances in the home, and you know, those routines get very ingrained, and then it eventually bubbles to the surface, and then you have the tension that may be created out of it.
Well, first of all, thank you for your terminology, because that is I like your terminology a lot better, you know, an individual, because an individual mm-hmm. could be anybody in the family. But also thank you for leading into the next question I was going to ask you, which is the conflict. Because then how do you handle the conflict, especially if, as you're describing, Brian, there are different traditions that everybody seems to have, and you're trying to make your own traditions for your kids. Now everybody's, yes, there's more to the to-do list, because now all of a sudden you want to, or at least try to, make everyone happy, but yet you can't do it all.
Right. I think, you know, sometimes partners or the couple within the home who are serving as the parental figures haven't really defined for themselves what each is going to play. Now, there may be communication issues already ongoing in that home that have not been even brought up or discussed or addressed that we may see. Each partner may be kind of doing their own thing and kind of operating independently and not really bringing their resources together. Sometimes there's secrets that are being kept. And sometimes with holidays, things kind of, and I don't want to pick on the holidays, but sometimes that is the time when a lot of these things, like a perfect storm, starts kind of coming together, because all these stressors with financial and other things start to kind of surface because of the pressures that the family is under to provide and have all these things together. And this is certainly not the case for every family, but just as a generic example. And then things start leading to that. And in some cases, there is already existing issues with chemical abuse, you know, like substance abuse type issues and other. And maybe there can even, we're going to get into grief and loss, but for a lot of families, the holiday conflict is created because somebody is not there now. And it's creating a major loss for somebody, and somebody's not handling something very well, and it's just reminding everybody of it.
We're with Family Pathways right now. We'll get the contact information out in just a moment, but since we are running out of time, Marianne, I want to do ask you about the grief and loss, and how do we handle that? Because as you're dealing with families, kids grieve differently than adults, adults grieve differently than each other, and maybe I'm grieving today, you're grieving tomorrow, so not everybody's on the same time schedule either.
Right, and usually the holidays are a lot of times when the grief and loss issues kind of resurface. Maybe it's the first holiday or major holiday since your loved one or, you know, a family member has passed away, and you really feel their absence when they're not at the table, or maybe it was grandfather who always, you know, did something in particular. He was the one that carved the turkey, or, you know, somebody who always put up the lights outside, or, you know, hunting traditions and whatnot in the family. A lot of times this is when it's felt. And then we have the seasonal affective disorder, the lead up to the holidays, and Christmas is over. Everybody kind of feels that, you know, that release, and you feel like kind of down, like what now? Just to recognize that this is a time that people might get sad. It's a time that people do a lot of reflecting. Adults and kids grieve differently. Every individual grieves differently. Allowing yourself to grieve, allowing yourself to be, allowing space and sadness, and telling your child that it's okay to feel sad, or it's okay to, you know, to cry or to miss this person, and, you know, I might miss them too. Just allowing that to happen. Other family members, you might be more mindful if they're alone. You know, if it was a grandparent that passed away, that other grandparent might be alone now for the first time in years. Maybe they want space. Maybe they want to feel included. That's a conversation you should have, and that goes back to the communication.
And as you say, it's okay. I want to finish with that thought, because it's okay if you're listening today to get help today. It's okay to take the whole family. I know it's the holiday season. I know you're busy, but this is when I think a lot of people need the help. And I don't want to say the most, because it's a year-round thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you get that help, you learn a maintenance program, so you continue to get the help. But this time of year can really be impactful. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay to do that now. So let's get the contact information, website, on how we can get a hold of Family Pathways.
If you want to call us, it's 724-284-9440. That's 724-284-9440. Our website is www.familypathways, that's with an S on the end, .net. And that has a complete website. We recently revamped it this past year, so it has a listing of all the programs and everything. There's also, it's tied in with the Monarch Training Center, which is our training component of our business, where there's different trainings that are listed from 1 month to the next.
It's Family Pathways. You can contact them at any time, but feel free and take that step now, today, tomorrow, this month, because this is a really packed, full month. Brian Dick, also Marianne Norris, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, and folks, thank you very much for joining me again for this segment. You can always listen to this segment in its entirety online as our podcast of the day. You go on our website, WISR680.com. Go to the menu bar, pick programs, and that's going to drop you down to Let's Talk, and you'll find the podcast there. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Tracy Morgan with Let's Talk.
The information and opinions shared on this program are solely those of our guests and do not necessarily represent those of WISR, the Butler County Radio Network, or its staff and employees.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, a jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.